143. Hear now the word of the Lord. A psalm of David. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me, he crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I'll be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I've put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we come now and open your word. Our prayer is that you would open our hearts to receive that word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you would impress your great truth into our hearts that may become part of our lives. Lord, open our eyes that we may see Christ. Open our ears that we may hear your word. And hearing, we may respond as your people. Lord, send forth your word this day. May it accomplish that for which you sent it forth. Lord, may we hear your voice this day and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. David was a man with many enemies. He was a man who was tried in many ways. He was a man who failed in numerous ways. How many of us have not identified with David at some point in his life? I think we all have at some point or another as we look and read his life story and we see of the attacks upon him. We see of his failures. We see of his many sins. I think we have all come to identify with him at some point or another in his life. Our text today, as we continue looking at the various types of psalms, we look today at psalms of personal lament. Psalm 143 is a psalm in which David is lamenting. He's crying out to the Lord in his distress because of his enemies. He's crying out because he's in danger. And danger takes many forms. We tend to think of danger mainly as physical, but it's not always. Danger can be emotional. It can be spiritual danger. And so today we want to look at this psalm, this lament. But we want to find here what David found, a sure place of refuge, a place of safety when we're in danger. Now, David was on the run most of his young life. He was being pursued by Saul after Saul became aware that David had been anointed king. David spent many years fleeing from Saul, who sought to take his life. That was not the end of David's troubles. He was attacked by many folks during his life. Later in his life, he had to flee from his own son, Absalom, who sought to take his life and take the kingdom from him. Our psalm today, 143, has a lot in common with 142, which precedes it. They have a lot of similarities. David in 142 is surrounded by enemies. He's looking for the Lord to be his refuge. If you'll notice the heading of 142, It was when David was in the cave, hiding from Saul. The story that's related in 1 Samuel 24. So, I think these have a pretty good connection here. David says in verse 3 of our text today, the enemy pursues me. David knew all about that, as we said. He was pursued by enemies virtually his whole life. And where does he go? Where does he go to find safety and refuge from his enemies? You know, David fled from these enemies because he perceived that there was danger. He knew they would take his life if they caught him. Some people do not flee, first of all, because they don't perceive any danger. Some people don't see danger. Some people don't see danger in sinning against Almighty God. Some people think they can sin with impunity. They think that they can do as they please and God is powerless to do anything about it. Other folks like to dabble around with sin. They think that they can handle many of these things that sin and the flesh and the devil throw at them. They think they are okay to fool around with things like drugs and gambling and drunkenness, with pornography, with greed, with illicit sex, with materialism. They think, well, I can handle this. It won't bother me. It won't bring me down. In fact, you could put some Christians in that group. Some of them like to get right up and see how close to the edge of the cliff they can get without falling off. They don't perceive the great danger that is there for them. But the greatest danger of all that people ignore is the danger of judgment and hell. And many people approach death with not the least thought about that. They have convinced themselves through their own philosophy that there's no such thing. And so they blindly do not flee from the danger that is there before them. But everyone is in danger. Everyone is in danger. Sinners ignore God. They ignore His commands. They ignore His calls for repentance. And they sleep while judgment approaches. Jonathan Edwards said that sinners are walking even this moment over the mouth of hell, and they're walking on a fabric that is finer and thinner than the smallest spider web, and they could plunge through it any second and be destroyed. Young and old alike are in jeopardy of death at any moment, and judgment follows upon death. You know, the things that are unseen sometimes are the deadliest things. People sometimes are lulled to sleep because they can't see the danger. They don't perceive danger because they don't see it. Again, Christians are sort of like this. They think they'll play around in the tidal pools by the ocean of sin, oblivious to the fact that a big wave could come at any time and just knock them over, could sweep them off their feet. They don't perceive the danger that is there. And as we said, sometimes the greatest dangers are the ones that are the hardest to see. I'll give you an illustration. There's a little jellyfish called Irukandji. It's a box jellyfish. It's not really a jellyfish, but that's beside the point. It's about the size of your thumbnail. It's clear, but it looks like a little box. And it's got four little tentacles, one hanging off each corner of the box. The venom in those tentacles is said to be the most deadly venom in the world. It can and does kill people regularly. And the ones who survive the sting say is the most excruciating pain they have ever experienced in their whole life. In fact, the medical community says that a double dose of morphine, double the dose that is normally given to a terminal cancer patient or other people suffering great pain, double that amount does nothing to take the edge off of this pain. And it usually only lasts for a couple weeks. But you can't see this. A clear little thing in water is almost impossible to see. And so it is that sometimes the greatest dangers are unperceived by people, and so they do not flee. Other people do not flee because they believe that in their own strength they're able to handle these things. They think that they are strong enough, wise enough, spiritual enough to handle whatever may come, so they don't flee. The stories in our time are many of highly placed pastors, of denominational leaders, of leaders of great evangelical organizations who have been caught in the most gross sins and brought great dishonor on Christ and His church. And these are the ones that were held up as an example. I think they got to believing the praise that the people heaped upon them. They thought, well, I can handle this. I'm super spiritual, if you will. And so they dabble around, they play around in the edges of these things, and they're caught unawares because they're overconfident. They don't heed what David says here. There is no one righteous before God, a theme that Paul picks up later in Romans 3. There's no one righteous. No one can stand before God because we are all unrighteous. The problem that these folks have is they get to believing their own press clippings. They get to believing that in their position they are immune, and so they do not flee from the danger. The biggest danger of all, the biggest weakness of all, is overconfidence in your own strength. The weakest one who realizes his need and who flees from the danger is much better off than the one who thinks himself too strong to fail and eventually exposes his weakness for what it is. Now, David says that the enemy not only pursues, oftentimes, he catches you. Oftentimes, you are taken by those who are pursuing you, your enemies. David says you're crushed to the ground. You're in darkness. Darkness similar to those who have been in the grave for a long time. David says these things have come upon him. They make his heart faint. He's dismayed. He doesn't know what to do. All of you have felt that at some time or another. You've been attacked either through sickness, through loss, through the attack of enemies, through opposition. You have felt just like David, crushed, weighed down in this great darkness. But David has a solution there in verse 5. David says the way to deal with this is to look to God, to look to His past salvation, to look to the other times in which He has delivered you. And even beyond that, he says, to look to His great works. Look to His power. Look around you at what He has created. Look at His power and His attributes and His nature. That's where your confidence can be. We're all going to be attacked and assaulted at different times by different things in different ways. But our confidence is in the Lord, in His mighty strength, in His attributes. And he sums this up for us in verse 9 there. He said, "The enemies pursue me, but I hide myself in you. I hide myself in the strength of God. I hide myself in the power and the wisdom of God, in the protection of God. That's much more than anything that I can do. It is this that David spells out, the attributes, the presence, the strength, the wisdom of God is where he takes his refuge. And you'll notice one thing in this psalm. There is a great contrast in this psalm. There are the attacks of the enemy, the crushing, defeating, almost soul-destroying attacks of the enemy. And contrasted with that, we find the attributes of God that David lists here. God's faithfulness, he says. He speaks of God's righteousness twice in this psalm. He speaks of God's justice, of his judgment. He speaks of God's hesed, a Hebrew word that's hard to translate into English. You find it translated a number of different ways. They all have the word love in them. He talks of God's unfailing love. He talks of God's loving kindness two times in this psalm. And he speaks of God's power. Yes, the enemy is powerful. Yes, sometimes we don't see the danger. Yes, these things come upon us unaware. But four times in this psalm, he speaks of God's power. His power in creation, his power to destroy the enemy, his power to deliver his people. Four times he speaks of God's power. And this is where he runs to hide, where he runs to take refuge, in the mighty power of God. The psalmist, over and over in this book, the psalmist, just open it at random to a psalm. You will probably see the strength and power and might of God in that psalm. The psalmist referred this over and over, and they also return to this theme of God's loving kindness, of his unfailing love as the reason for which they know they can go to him for deliverance and for protection. So it is that these attributes of God are where we find our help. These are where we find our comfort and our protection. Not in my foolish ideas of how strong I am. Not in my overestimation of my own spirituality. No. Flee to God. Flee to his righteousness and his strength and his power. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man sees danger and flees to refuge. And that refuge is God. You know, there was one of the Scottish Covenanters, Reverend Alexander Peden. He was one of those great Scotsmen of the faith who, rather than give in to the king, they faced torture and death and imprisonment by the thousands. Rather than say that the king was head of the church, they stuck to their Presbyterian principles through thick and thin. Reverend Peden was preaching one day at a shepherd's hut, just a little bitty hut out in the middle of nowhere, to a very small congregation there. He was preaching the word. And there was a sheep outside that kept bleeding. It kept bleeding and interrupting the preaching and the worship. And the shepherd went outside to drive the sheep away. And off in the distance, he saw some horse soldiers galloping toward his hut. He ran back inside, and he gave the alarm, and the little congregation scattered and hid themselves. Reverend Peden hid himself in the cleft of the rock, in the cave of Garrick Fells, right there nearby. And it wasn't long till he heard the clatter of the horse hooves and the clanging of the armor. And he looked out through a little crack in the rock. And he saw those who were searching for him. He was one they were really after. And he saw them ride off. Even though he was close enough, he could have reached out and touched them. He hid himself in the rock. David hid himself in the cave near the crags of the wild goats when Saul was pursuing him. Reverend Peden hid himself in the cleft of the rock in the cave of Garrick Fells. But they both knew that their real refuge was in God. God was their hiding place. And if you are a Christian, Colossians 3:3 says, your life is hid with Christ in God. What a great place to be. No matter what the attacks are that come upon you, no matter how fierce the enemy is, no matter our own weaknesses that assault us over and over, we are hid with Christ in God. This is the place where you want to be. That is the only place of security. And we're going to sing a song in a minute written by Augustus M. Toplady. You know the song. But he speaks there of a rock that was cleft for me and for you and for all God's elect. And it is in that rock that we find our safety. It is in that rock that we find protection from the enemy. And God has given His elect to Christ to hide them, to protect them. He has given His elect to Christ, and Christ has undertaken to protect them, not only physically, but spiritually as well. For you see, David said, there is no one righteous, and the unrighteous will not stand in the judgment. But those who belong to Christ will stand, because they will stand clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's a line in that song you'll notice too. Top lady wrote, naked come to thee for dress. Naked, miserable, wretched, and blind, we come to Jesus Christ. And clothed in His righteousness, we can stand before Almighty God and not be exposed to His wrath, but be exposed to His grace and His love and His mercy, because we are in Christ. We're in the rock. That is our sure hiding place, our safe refuge. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have no place to hide. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior, you have no hiding place. You have no way to protect you from your enemies. There's no one to protect you from your own foolish temptations and weaknesses. And worst of all, there is no one to protect you from the wrath of God. You stand exposed to the wrath of God Almighty. You and the Lord God Almighty are enemies. And that is not a good place to be. These other enemies are bad enough. But to be an enemy of the Lord God, to have Him as your enemy and have no place to hide, what you need is to be reconciled to God. And that reconciliation is found only in Jesus Christ. But the good news is this, that God takes you as you are, wretched, sinful, wicked, but He does not leave you as you are, vulnerable and exposed. He puts you in Christ, and there you are safe. You're hid with Christ in God. If you refuse this offer of God's grace and mercy, you have nowhere to hide. You will be like that great number in Revelation 6 who hid themselves, interestingly enough, in the caves and the rocks of the earth. And they cried out to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Who can stand indeed? No one can stand. And all the rocks and all the mountains of this earth cannot shield you from the wrath of God if you're not hidden in Christ. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have indeed cleft that great rock, our Lord Jesus Christ, for us. As your people, we are hid with Christ in you. Lord, not for anything that we have done, but because of your great mercy and grace. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And Lord, if there is one here today that is not there, we pray that you would open their eyes to the danger. Lord, open their eyes to the peril in which they live each moment. Lord, change their hearts that they might indeed believe on your Son, Jesus Christ, and be saved, that they might indeed be hid in that great rock which is Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.